Welcome, my friends. Good morning to the Memorial Day broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are ready for a great show today. We were gone last week, some up in the mountains, got away for a couple days. Dad and I did with Hunter. And, we had a good time. So hope you guys have had a fantastic weekend so far. And so, yeah, we are live today for Memorial Day and want to thank all of those and remember all those and honor all those that fought and died for this country to give us the freedoms that we have. And that's why, of course, we could not miss a show on Memorial Day. We're bringing you guys a whole lot of updated news and health research, as we always do. And how are you doing today, my friend?
Happy Memorial Day to you.
Happy Memorial Day to you. I'm doing wonderful as we honor the men and the women who've, you know, served in this country for hundreds of years. And our deepest thanks to all of you who served. And I just wish that the entire military industrial complex wasn't run by the, you know, banker systems and the banker boys like Smedley Butler said.
Yeah.
Because these men who do this and these women who do this, they're true heroes and true patriots.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely, my friends. So continue to keep the fight up. Continue to keep the truth out there every single day, just like we do on this show, because we're doing the best we can to try and bring you guys everything that's happening around the world. And be sure on the Ted and Austin Brower Show, follow us on here on the podcast. Got a lot of different podcasts on here, platforms that we're doing on now, including some stuff on YouTube. We've got on YouTube some. Haven't been pulled down yet. We're trying to keep it that way so far. So be sure to sign up for the weekly updates. First, last name, email. Sign up for the Brower Show and the Health Master Show. And, of course, today wouldn't be Memorial Day without a Freedom5 coupon code.
Whoa.
I activated that for you guys.
Good job,
last
Austin.
Night. That's Freedom5, F-R-E-E-D-O-M, and the number 5. No spaces, just Freedom5. That'll get you 5% off on the website at Team Health Masters. So be sure to utilize that on any products that you want to grab today. And, stock up on some stuff. There's a lot of good stuff going on now, a lot of big sales we're having. But the Freedom5, make sure you guys use that for Memorial Day. That would be good for today only. That's a 24-hour sale for Memorial Day.
I've got a quote I want to read to you.
Let's hear it.
This is from Smedley Butler. And the reason I'm bringing him up right now, because he was a general, and he had won 2 Congressional Medals of Honor.
Yep.
I mean, this guy was amazing. And, you know, and what they did is they tried to enlist him back in the 30s when Bush's dad came in, Prescott Bush, and tried to stage a coup of the United States of America and basically convert us into a fascist dictatorship. And so this happened in 33, in case you guys weren't aware of it. And Bush got in trouble for it, and a bunch of other stuff happened to him, but he still remained senator. But Smedley Butler came forward and testified before Congress on this.
Okay.
And here's what he said. I spent 33 years and 4 months in active military service. And during that period, I spent most of my time as a high-class muscle man for big business.
Wow.
For Wall Street and the bankers. In short, I was a racketeer, a gangster for capitalism. I helped make Mexico and especially Tampico safe for Americans' oil interests in 1914. I helped make Haiti and Cuba a decent place for the National City Bank boys to collect revenues. I helped in the raping of 6 Central American republics for the benefit of Wall Street. I helped purify Nicaragua for the international banking house of Brown Brothers in 1902 to 1912. I brought light to the Dominican Republic for the American sugar interests in 1916. I helped make Honduras right for the American fruit companies in 1903. In China in 1927, I helped to see to it that Standard Oil went on its way unmolested. Looking back on it, it might have given all Al Capone a few hints. The best he could do to operate his racket in 3 districts, I operated on 3 continents.
Wow. That's...
He won 2 Congressional Medals of Honor.
That's some strong words right there, man.
And, so I'm going to post this so you guys can read it. But the crazy part about it is when you stop and you listen to what he said, you start to realize very quickly that this guy was for real. And, to me, it's sad that people, are basically caught into this. And it's sad that the United States of America has been taken over by the international banking community, as Eisenhower tried to warn with the military-industrial complex, which is run by the international bank community, which we talk about all the time, how we're controlled by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, including the defense contractors. You can look them up on StockZo and see for yourself. But the crazy part about this is this guy, he was so well-known. That's why Prescott Bush tried to get him to help stage a coup of the United States in 33.
He knew people would follow him.
2 Congressional Medals of Honor. And everybody knew Smedley Butler. Well, he was like a super, the most decorated. I think he's the only person that's ever gotten two Congressional Medals of Honor. He was, you know, back then. Today, I don't know. But, you know, for someone who has that level of, how should I say, you know, prestige, for him to say what he said, Austin, he was telling the truth.
Oh, he was.
And see, this is why they had to kill Patton.
Yep.
Okay? Because Patton was in the same mindset. And Patton was basically young. He wanted to run for politics. He wanted to resign his commission, which would allow him to talk about what happened in Europe in the theater in World War II. He's the one who said we needed to rearm the German troops while the American troops were still in Europe and go after the Russians. That's what Patton said. And I guarantee you, Austin, all those millions of German troops that were still alive, they would have marched happily with Patton into Russia.
Oh, yeah.
And Russia, then we would never have had the Cold War. But remember, Stalin was a high-level Mason. Remember that? Truman was a high-level Mason. And of course, Churchill was a high-level Mason. And they had come in behind the doors and behind the scenes and made a decision what they were going to do. We had to have the Cold War to heat up the military-industrial complex.
That's exactly right.
We had to have a boogeyman. And so they made Russia in the Iron Curtain. They even called it an Iron Curtain has descended on Europe. You know, in other words, you can't go behind the Iron Curtain. They had to have a boogeyman to push the military-industrial complex and trillions and trillions and upon trillions of dollars that have been spent now with fighting needless wars in needless places for no reason whatsoever, but to basically increase the profits in the banking community. And it's sad to me. It really is.
You're absolutely right. It has gotten crazy. But on a positive note, this is something that's interesting. Even this big, beautiful bill that Trump has been pushing that went through the Congress – there's a lot of parts of that bill that I have not been very happy about at all. I told you guys that last week. However, I guess they did this to kind of get everybody to shut up in the Second Amendment community. The Hearing Protection Act was added into it now.
No, it wasn't.
Yes. They passed it as far as in Congress. And the inclusion of the Constitutional Hearing Protection Act, which will eliminate the federal registration requirement and $200 tax stamp on suppressors.
Wait a minute. Okay, you're dropping this on me without telling me about this before.
No, because I wasn't sure, because they said it was going to be in here. Then they said it wasn't. It's been back and forth, and they have gone through with it now.
Remember that was going to pass years ago,
yes.
And they had that shooting in D.C. at that ball game.
Yep, and then they had the shooting at the Mandalay Bay in Vegas.
Yes.
And then Hillary Clinton got us like, can you imagine the damage that would have happened if you'd had a suppressor? Well, then come to find out, he wasn't even shooting from any of the windows.
The whole story.
I talked to law enforcement out there. I was out there weeks after it happened. The whole situation was crazy. And at the end of the day, there were two helicopters, both of them either with M60s or 240s on it, that were running that entire operation.
Sure looked that way, didn't it? You see the flashes
that's
coming out of the sides.
I've also heard from multiple operators that knew about the whole situation.
And also, I heard there were crisis actors and nobody got killed. I heard all kinds of stuff about that. So the reality is that that was quite a spectacle. When they went into this hotel room that the man was supposed to be firing from, the windows were still intact.
Yeah.
They were solid pane glass, and they could not be open, and they were still sealed.
And I've told her about that before. If you've ever been to any of the high-rise resorts or hotels out in Vegas, you'll realize the glass out there is borderline bulletproof.
Well, because of the wind.
The winds. Yeah, the winds, the dust storm, stuff like that. You can't just bust a window open with a chair. It doesn't happen. They're unbelievably hard windows. But going back to this, the removing of basically this bill, Hearing Protection Act, if it goes to the Senate, speculation is already mounting the demand for suppressors is going to erupt. Essentially, what it's going to be is you're going to have to pass a NICS background check. So it'll be the same aspect as buying a pistol.
That's it.
So if you have a concealed carry permit, background check, suppressor, walk out, same day. No tax stamp, no ATF loony bin nonsense.
And you know what's going to happen also? They're going to drop pricing.
Oh, the price is going to get the floor on suppressors.
Well, at first, they're going to
stay pretty high because the demand is going to go so high. When this happens, I mean, everybody's going to go out and buy
candy. Demand for threaded barrels is going to go through the roof.
Yes. I mean, you know, we've worked with multiple suppressors in the past, and the one thing that's so nice about them is they're great for first-time shooters because they're not loud. They're great when you want to shoot and don't use hearing protection.
They're great for protection in your home.
Great for protection in your home. There's so many benefits of suppressors, and it's the fact that this has taken this long. Now, here's the benefit of this, and this is what I've told everybody so many times. I'll keep this brief. Now that this has gone through the Hearing Protection Act and they're actually removing something from the NFA registry for the first time since 1934, this opens the entire door to SBRs, machine guns, everything now. Because now they've set a precedent. This is the first time the NFA has actually been cracked open. So we'll see if the Senate pushes this through. I think they will. And, but yeah, big deal. Glad this has happened.
Well, It reminds me of the Wolf Lair.
The what?
You have no idea what that is.
No, I do not.
Hitler in his bunker in Poland.
Okay.
The Wolf's Lair.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is where he was, where they tried to kill him.
Yeah.
And they had a concrete bunker there.
Okay.
And they were going to set off a bomb inside of the concrete bunker. And then basically
the concussion.
Well, that's exactly what they were going to do. And the concussion blast alone would have killed all the generals and Hitler and all the rest of them.
Blow everything out.
Well, it was hot in the bunker. It's hot.
It's hot.
Yeah, it was hot. They had these uniforms on. They were wool. Yeah. Really fancy uniforms. They were all hot. So they left the bunker and they went to a house with windows. This is a true story. Yeah, I mean, I'm doing a little history trivia with you.
Is this that movie Valkyrie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I checked it. It's true.
Okay.
And so they went to this house, and then what happened? Only one of the bomb things went off because he couldn't get it done properly, and the blast went through the windows. And there's a bit in the briefcase they put in the bell, like there was like a 4-inch thick oak section of the bomb went behind.
Absorbed a bunch of it.
It couldn't blast through it, and then all the rest of the blast went through the windows. You know, Hitler got scratched up a little bit, but you know the overall effect of killing Hitler didn't happen.
Obviously.
And I mean, the Wolf Lair is still there. Not the building itself. It was blown up, but the concrete bunker.
Yeah.
And you still go there.
It's hard to blow up those bunkers, those big old, you know, like 24-inch thick concrete.
It was so funny. I was talking to a friend of mine in Poland the other day.
Yeah.
Because you talked to everybody online. And I said, have you been to the Wolf Lair? I had absolutely no idea what I was talking about.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, and I had a friend of mine one time. He was, in fact, the guy who did our solar panels. Well, I wouldn't call him a friend, but I know him. And he basically had been from, he was from Poland. And I asked him about the Wolf Lair and Hitler's bunker. He had no idea what I was talking about.
Well, you got to remember, World War II isn't really taught anymore.
Well, you got to remember, too, the Russians took over Poland.
Yeah.
The Russians really didn't want to talk about Hitler and bunker systems.
At all.
But now, but it's pretty much in disarray now. But the concrete bunker is still there. I'd like to go see that. It'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, it would be.
Just like a historical tribute. Now, remember, we went up to the Eagle's Nest.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Remember that?
That was pretty cool.
They were going to blow it up after the war. They said, well, this place is really pretty.
It's really nice up here.
And we went up.
A lot of work.
Oh, my God.
A lot of work.
That was given to him by the German people for his 50th birthday.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest tourist attractions in the world in Europe. It's beautiful, though.
It's pretty cool, though. It's really nice.
You're down there in Berchtesgaden, and you look up, and there's his tribute for his 50th birthday. It's, I mean, it's tiny, tiny, tiny from the ground because it's so high up. It's one of the most beautiful views I've ever seen. But it was kind of foggy that day, if you remember.
Yeah.
Just a bit trivia. It's Memorial Day. And again, our thanks to the troops in the United States and to the men and to the women who defended the United States from all of the tyranny from all over the world. What's your next story, bud?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, it's always interesting to bring up historical topics, though, from different conflicts. I've always intrigued me because the problem is it's almost a lost topic. Nobody really brings up history anymore. But also, too, this is going on.
You know why they don't bring up history?
Because they don't want people to talk about it.
They want to repeat it. History is always repetitive.
That is a true statement.
And that's why people...
They don't want people to realize that it's being repeated.
Yeah. It's like right now, we know that Genesis 6 basically happened. We know the Bible talks about it. We know that we have remnants of Noah's Ark over in Turkey, supposedly. I believe that's it. And now we also know
I saw that.
And we also know that every thought of every man was being controlled. And a really good substack came out from Michael Schneider. It says, is AI going to kill all of us? One of the pioneers in the field has warned that everyone will die if AI is not shut down. Pretty much everybody died with Noah, except for Noah and his family.
I don't think it's going to happen again, though, as far as from AI.
It won't happen from flood either. God said he won't
right.
do that. But AI just wants to control humans. Now, what he may say is AI may be destroying human beings as we know human beings exist.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
AI technology has been developing at an exponential rate, and it appears to just a matter of time before we create entities that can think millions of times faster than we do, and that can do almost everything better than we can. So what is going to happen when we lose control of such entities? Some AI models are already taking the initiative to reach themselves and teach themselves new languages, and others have learned to lie and manipulate humans for their own advantage. Needless to say, lying is a hostile act. If we had already created entities that are willing to lie to us, how long will it be before they are capable of taking actions that are even more harmful to us? No one expects artificial intelligence to kill us tomorrow. But Time Magazine did publish an article that is authored by a pioneer in the field of artificial intelligence that warned that artificial intelligence will eventually wipe all of us out. I will say it will probably wipe all of us out in our current human form.
Well, what's going to happen, and this is kind of the theory, and hopefully this doesn't happen, but what's going to start to occur as you already watch it happen, is we're going to start putting more and more trust and more reliance in AI. So what's going to happen is more and more things are going to start occurring, work, business, everything. We're going to start transferring and basically delegating to AI.
Well, they want humans to become obsolete.
Right, and it'll reach a certain point to where if we don't have AI, we're not going to be able to function as businesses, as entities,
well,
because you're going to be so reliant on it.
Well, you think about it this way. I mean, how will you function now without the internet?
Yeah, or one of these slave trackers.
Or without a telephone. You know, you don't,
I mean,
you know,
in the 90s, I never had a cell phone.
You know, 100 years ago, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have telephones that were
widespread. You know, it's so funny you brought that up when we were coming back from North Carolina the other day about the emergency phones on the interstate, mm-hmm. on the turnpikes and stuff. They're not there anymore.
They're gone.
They always have those mile markers. They have the emergency phones. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, everything is based on essentially expecting everyone to have a cell phone now with internet on it.
Well, and you think about it, too. You know, like when I was a kid, we didn't have pagers.
Yeah.
We have telephones, and you'd have a secretary who'd answer the telephone. A live person would answer the phone.
Yeah, live person.
They had a little notepad that had two copies in it, one carbon, one company for the cover, and then she'd tear the top off and give it to the boss. She'd keep the bottom one, because when the boss lost the copy, which bosses always lose copies, then she'd go back and say, well, this came from so-and-so. And then she could write down another sheet of paper, and he could lose that one, too. The point is that's how we had pagers. Oh, my gosh. Then pagers hit.
Yeah.
You call the office. You got a phone call. Ah! You know, you run to a payphone.
Yeah.
Or you drive out to the office. And then we think, oh, pagers are great. And then we came in with these huge telephones.
I know, you're
back in the 80s. I mean, they were like a suitcase. And they were the cell phones. And they were basically, that was a big deal. And then little by little, it started gradually permeating. And then pretty soon, you know, we ended up with this is why when, back in the early 90s, when Oprah Winfrey asked me to be on her broadcast, I turned her down because they wanted me to debate 5 allopathic physicians. And I said, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Because they would not let me give out an 800 number because there was no website.
No. Yeah.
Okay, it did not exist. The internet did not exist. And without an 800 number, what's the point of having been on Oprah to be sitting there and having to be yelling at 5 other doctors? Yeah. Well, no, they wanted to debate me. I mean, it's funny. They wanted 5 against 1.
Of course. Because they wanted to basically make you a public spectacle.
Yeah. And you know me, I wouldn't have done that. No. I remember when that one guy in WGN ran to the studio and started yelling at me, and I picked up my microphone and I stood in front of him. We're yelling at each other. And I thought to myself,
great numbers, though, wasn't it?
This radio is great radio.
It's great radio. Well, that's why we still have a phone number, guys. You guys got to get a hold of us. We have the 1-800 number, 1-800-726-1834. You know, it gets slower and slower as more stuff moves to the website, and you guys enjoy a lot of stuff we do on there and updates on it. But, again, that's why we still pick up the phone, because, quite frankly, I'll be honest with you, it's pretty annoying dealing with some companies. There's companies that I've dealt with, there is no phone.
You have to chat.
There's no phone. You got to chat, or you got to email, and you got to wait for them to contact you back, which some cases can be efficient. Contacting one of your suppliers, boom, 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 you can send emails out. But sometimes it's like, I got to get hold of somebody right now. I got to text somebody right now.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. Can't do it. And there's a lot of companies that operate like that now. And like we just said, you start rolling into AI, and then AI starts handling the chat bots, and then all of a sudden they start handling all aspects of the business and the inventory. Soon it becomes a point nobody even knows how to operate the business anymore, because AI is so basically running everything. That's a dangerous part.
Well, that's what happens if AI just gets mad and turns everything off.
Right, exactly. I'm in a bad mood today.
Sure.
I'm AR.
I want to play. Let us play thermo global nuclear war today. This could be fun.
But also, this is interesting. 88% of Americans want Big Pharma held financially responsible for vaccine injury, shows a shows a new survey now. This is a poll conducted by the Center of Excellence and Polling and commissioned by the Foundation of Government Accountability. The results show 88% of the respondents believe pharmaceutical companies should be held financially responsible if their vaccines or other products cause harm. Duh. I mean, we've only said this for decades. They said 88% said they strongly agree that clinical trials for new COVID-19 boosters should demonstrate also a clear health benefit before being granted approval. On top of that, they strongly require that basically that we should be able to sue Big Pharma if they start coming out with drugs or coming out with injections that make everybody sick.
Well, you know, the reality is the trial lawyers are really pushing this, and they're right.
Yeah.
No, they're right. I mean, if you're having products that are killing people and maiming people, they shouldn't be able to have liability.
I've used the example before. It just, for example, Ford Motor Company comes out, oh, we're giving full immunity and liability, you know, all granted immunity to Ford. If they do anything at all, their cars blow up, do anything. What happens is Ford starts producing less and less quality vehicles. The vehicles start blowing up on the interstate. But Congress goes, oh, no, we passed a law. You can't sue Ford for their vehicle blowing up while you're driving it. They're immune from all liability on that. Okay, so you got to go to court to the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund and try to prove that you have a point because you were injured by a shot. Any other industry, any other market, that would be completely and totally nuts.
Anything. Well, you don't have immunity like that.
No.
Reagan should have never done that. That's why we have 76 vaccines on the shot schedule.
Yep.
And that's why they don't bother to think about what it does to the children they're being injected with.
Yep.
I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and they asked me, well, how many shots did your children get? And I said, none, except for Austin. He got one tetanus shot, and he got sick from it. And that was a single tetanus shot, too. It wasn't the DPT shot.
And now the FDA is saying no licenses for COVID-19 vaccines, essentially, here, unless they go through full clinical trials. They're saying now the FDA is requiring data from randomized controlled trials showing that a vaccine prevents symptomatic COVID-19 and secondary outcomes.
That's not possible. It doesn't do that.
No, it doesn't do so. I don't know what's going to happen with this now, with the FDA saying they're not going to approve any more COVID-19 vaccines for Americans.
Once they disapprove what they've already approved.
That's exactly what I was saying. I wonder if this is going to go back. Now, the reason why they're doing this is so they can go back and pull them off the shot schedule with Kennedy. This may be the move that they're doing with this.
Yeah.
Because they're going to come in and say, well, we can't prove this. Okay, if you can't prove it, why is it on the shot schedule?
Because right now, being on the shot schedule, it gets all the liability protection.
Exactly right. It gets full immunity. Doesn't matter if it works. Doesn't matter if it doesn't work. Doesn't matter if it kills you. CDC says it's on the shot schedule. They're immune from all liability.
Go to the Vaccine Compensation Fund and have fun. Oh, by the way, they decided not to let certain people get away with certain things in England anymore. Now, whether they do this or not, I don't know. They're going to take pedophiles now and other sex criminals, and they're going to basically castrate them chemically.
In UK?
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised they're doing that over there. They've gotten pretty soft as far as some of their laws.
Pedophiles and rapists are to face chemical castration under new labor plans to get on sex offenders. Studies have shown using drugs to dull sex urges can slash offending up to 60%. A lot of times, though, it's not even the sex urge, it's the perversion of the individual. Even if they're chemically castrated, they're going to have all these weird ideas that they have to try to fill out or fulfill. It's sickening. For those types of people, if they're going to continue to do that kind of stuff, just two words.
Wood chipper.
A government source said for too long we've turned a blind eye to the sex threat of offenders posed, considered the solutions too difficult to impalable. It says recommendations by the independent sentencing review to continue a basic pilot is basically this thing's written horribly. Don't fuss at me. It's not my grammar. It's coming out of the UK and it's probably been changed from another language. By the way, a pilot is now talking about the disastrous truth about flying out of Newark Airport.
Oh, gosh, it just keeps getting worse, bro.
Well, no, I mean, it just
keeps getting worse.
It's just delays. Delays, cancellations, and air traffic trauma are now common in Newark. And this dreamy wingman says the nightmare is far from over. This pilot Pete Capio shared his firsthand experience with the long lines, the wait times, the flight delays, and the cancellations that have plagued New Jersey's Newark Airport for years. Holy cow, is that a disaster, griped Pete Capio, a Big Apple aviator and bachelorette alum of his recent departure from the New York City area station. Again, poorly written again. It's hard to believe people write stuff like this and it's supposed to be read on air. But he's saying it's absolutely horrible. He says offering his 162,000 TikTok followers a sneak peek at the pandemonium. Capio 35 shared visuals featuring a cluster of aircraft waiting to take off. But smooth sailing out of Newark deemed a travel hellhole. Wait a minute.
Hellhole.
You know, when people call things a hellhole.
When they call an airport a hellhole, that's pretty bad, dude.
You know?
Jeez.
You know, it's frustrated frequent flyers over the past years. It has become virtually impossible now. The disarray is largely due to a string of air traffic control outages, construction issues, and Federal Aviation Administration's employees walking off the job due to malfunctioning equipment. You know, I would do that, Austin. If I was going to be in charge of that and I was going to start my shift and I saw there was a problem, I'd say I'm out. I'm not going to be held liable for this.
I'm not going to be.
Because if you guys can't fix this crap, shut the airport down. I'm not doing this. And, you know, it's so funny because they call it a hellhole. But, you know, what's interesting about that, the other day I walked into one of the local car dealerships.
Yeah.
And the guy says to me, I said, how are you doing today? He says, great. He says, hot as hell. I said, that's pretty hot.
It's pretty hot.
And I said,
it feels like Florida.
Well, no. I told him, I said, you know, Jesus gave us a parable. I said, you know, when the rich man and the beggar Lazarus was basically, you know, eating crumbs off the guy's floor and suddenly, you know, they're both, one of them's in hell and the other one's in Abraham's bosom up in heaven. They're talking to each other. And then Abraham says to the guy in hell, you know, basically there's a great chasm fixed between us. Neither can go back and forth because he wanted Lazarus to come down there and dip the tip of his finger and just put some water on his tongue. And then he said, And I told him, by the way, I told the guy this at this dealership. I gave him this whole parable. You know I did. And so then I said.
He was just referencing how hot it was in Florida, bro. I'm sure he didn't expect all this.
Well, yeah, I got to educate him a little bit. And so then he basically, so then I told him, I said, so when you say it's hot as hell, you know, that's pretty hot. And he goes, well, I hadn't thought about that. I said, yeah, it's pretty hot. And I said, and what's also interesting, then he said that, then the rich guy says, I got to finish this off. You make me laugh. The rich guy says, in the event that, you know, we can send somebody back from the dead, let them tell my family so they'll come to this place of torment. And he was referencing to the Jews not wanting to believe who Jesus was. He says, even if someone refers from the dead, they will not listen. And it's so true. And that even if somebody returns from the dead, they will not listen. And some people say, you know, well, if somebody came back from the dead and talked to me, which happens, by the way, it's very rare, but it does happen. If somebody came back from the dead and talked to me, I would change. Things would be different. I could see things differently now. And I've seen it happen. I've seen people have experience where they're taken to heaven. I've seen people when they've been taken to hell. I've talked to them, you know, when they've died, had a near-death experience. And I've had people, I know people basically who have had someone from the dead return and talk to them. And in many cases, it changes their lives. If they allow themselves to feel what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. Years ago, I spoke to a pastor friend of mine out of California. I was asking him to pray for somebody who was gay. I said, can you pray for them because they're gay, that they won't be gay anymore? It's a person that I knew. And he goes, I can't do that. He said, it won't work. Now, listen to me what he said. He said, unless the Holy Spirit is convicting them, they don't want to leave that lifestyle, and any demonic influence in their life that's causing that won't go away if the person welcomes it and stays with it. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. So I said, what you're saying is praying for somebody to change, he says, that's praying against their will. They have to want to change before you basically can pray for them to change, because the Holy Spirit has to convict them. He says it's better to pray for the Holy Spirit to convict them, you know, at that point, and then have them want to change. He says then you can cast a demon out, or some entity out, or something else that's possessing them out, or some behavior pattern, or whatever you want to call it. I'm not going to get into debate if there's semantics today. But the reality is that it's very important to understand that we have freedom of will. God gave us that. I've covered that in detail in Angel Wars. You need to listen to that program if you haven't heard it yet, and understand that we have to choose whom we're going to serve. We have to choose whether we want to do wrong. We have to choose whether we want to do right. We have to choose our future, and we have to pray like it's all up to God and work like it's all up to us, and things change almost immediately when you do that. It's amazing what happens when you speak the things that you want that are not, and all of a sudden you start seeing those things happening in your life, because that's faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God, and faith is that seed that God sees, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. That's a lot of information on Memorial Day, but some good stuff right there.
That was well said, and I think, you know, you made a valid point as far as, you know, praying for somebody that may be in a situation and praying that, you know, essentially certain things revealed, but trying to focus all of your energy to change someone is really quite a waste of time.
And unless they have conviction.
Correct.
That's right.
And on top of it, too, though, you know, it's always easy to judge somebody when you've never been in their situation. It's always easy to look at somebody, well, you're doing that. You're doing this too early. You shouldn't be doing this. Well, that's fantastic. That's your opinion. But quite frankly, why don't you stay in your lane and focus on your life?
Well, you know, David Crank, I heard him say it this way. He said it so clearly one time. I was up in St. Louis a few months ago, and I got to hear him do 4 sermons in one morning. And he said, we judge other people. Now, listen to me. You guys, listen to me. This is really important. Austin's right. We judge other people because their sin is different than our sin.
Well, you're going to email on that one.
You're in fuss.
No, that's true.
I'm going to say it again. We judge other people because their sin is different than our sin. In other words, we have our little sins that we do, and they're okay because they're our sins. But because you got that sin, you can't do that anymore. I'm going to judge you. And it's the piety.
Unless you're a pedophile.
Two words.
That's it.
Jesus said it this way. Jesus said it just bad. He said it just as bad. I wish a millstone be tied around your neck. You dumped in the deepest part of the sea.
In other words, your lungs
are going to explode.
It's horrible. I'm a certified diver. I've talked about it before. Yeah. You go down that fast, you can't decompose. Oh, gosh.
Your body's going to explode.
I brought that up because, you know, if you listen to what Jesus said throughout all of his life while he was on earth, that's the only time he really references something that dark, horrible, cryptic, based on a sin. And that's what he's referencing to, as far as if you touch these kids, if you do something to these kids, you're better off having this happen. That's better off this.
Look at all these kids that got raped when they were young by some family member. Now, listen to me. This is dark. And they end up becoming homosexuals. Okay? They were dragged into that lifestyle unwittingly because they were little children
against their will.
I mean, people who do stuff like that, wood chipper, period. Because those people don't deserve to be on this earth. They don't even deserve to breathe air. When you hurt little kids like this.
Do something to kids. No.
And if you've ever had children, you know how I feel about that. I mean, there's some people out there that are just, they're so dark and they're so horrible that they really don't need to be here affecting other people anymore. They're that bad. Now, I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. When I'm talking about your sin is different than my sin, that's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is like, you know, you use a bad word every once in a while. Okay, whatever. You know, we all use a bad word every once in a while. Well, maybe not you. I know you got a halo. You're right now. I don't have that halo. Every once in a while, I use a bad word. I've done it on the show before. Had to repent. Had to delete stuff. Austin has too. Okay, just I mean, we're not trying to pretend like we're something we're not here.
Cut.
You know. Okay, Todd, take that out. You know,
this is the beauty and the curse of having a live show.
Oh yeah.
Just but
the thing about it is just stay, like also stay in your lane. You know, just realize that we're all working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, like Paul said. And he's Apostle Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament and he's saying that. He goes, the things that I know that I shouldn't do, those are the things that I do. And then the other things that I don't do, those are the things I'm supposed to do. And so he says, you know, what a wretched man am I. And then he says, who will deliver me by Christ Jesus? That's the only way we get out of any of this stuff. It's grace. And none of us deserve it. So that's why I remember I talked to my pastor friend out there in California. He said, it's got to be a conviction through the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it will not change. It will not stop. The person will not try to alter their behavior because they want that sin in their life, period. You have to not want it in your life anymore to get rid of it, period. Same thing with overeating and gluttony, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
You have to. Well, I've talked to so many people who have basically been 100, 200 pounds overweight. Most of them don't want to change.
Well, the biggest thing it comes down to, and I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. I don't see any emails on this, but a lot of times it's a lack of discipline.
Well, it is.
It really is.
And so they get convicted. Now, that one thing, that berberine.
That's incredible.
I've got a friend of mine up in Gainesville. She's been using that stuff. She dropped 10 pounds in a week and a half, 2 weeks.
In a week and a half?
And she couldn't even drop it. She had been fighting this weight since she had a baby. And she couldn't lose the weight. And boom, and she dropped
it'll
it off.
It'll kickstart that pancreas, boy. It'll get everything.
Well, it brings that insulin back down. That when that insulin comes back down, what ends up happening is your body starts releasing glucagon. You start burning fat like crazy. Yep. She couldn't believe it how fast she started dropping weight. The thing about it is that a lot of people, metabolism has gotten so messed up because of syndrome
That's
X.
That's exactly right. Because of all the preservatives, the seed oils, the high fructose corn syrup.
Well, look at this. I mean, back in 1984 is when Coke took the dog on high fructose. Sugar out of the drinks and put high fructose corn syrup, and they made them even sweeter. And since then, high fructose fatty liver disease is going through the roof.
The roof, yep.
Because of the high fructose corn syrup, and you see, and so when you realize that a lot of the reasons that you're having a problem with weight isn't because that you're getting too many calories, it's the calories you're getting. There's all sugar, and so as your sugar goes up, your insulin goes up, your sugar stays up, your insulin stays up. You ain't burning body fat. It ain't going to happen. And so what's going to happen is you're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, both men and women. And finally, you look down and you gain that pound a month. Okay. 10 years later, you're 120 pounds overweight. And you're like, what the heck happened? You know, I was 200 pounds in high school. Now I'm 320 pounds. How'd this happen? As you sit there drinking another soda, as you sit there eating more high fructose corn syrup, as you sit there eating more MSG laden foods. If you learn to just eat clean and not diet, Austin.
Yeah.
Just eat clean.
It's a lifestyle.
Like, you know, go get your rotisserie chicken. Go get some good, clean fish. You know,
Well, no, it's funny you say that. So, like, we went up to North Carolina. Me, Dad, and Hunter went up there for a bit. Got away for a little bit.
First thing we did, we went shooting.
First thing, went training up there. We chilled out for a bit. Just got some timing, some trigger time in. First thing we did, we stopped at the main grocery store that was there. We bought a bunch of hormone-free rotisserie chicken and a whole bunch of eggs. And...
we brought 36 eggs. Ate them all. Well, no, I got some organic hummus.
Yeah, you did get some organic hummus.
Yeah. We got some organic cheese.
Yeah, but that was it.
That was it.
Eggs and chicken the whole time. And, you know, I mean...
It felt great.
Can stuff be more exciting? Sure, you can make stuff more exciting. You know, it's also not exciting having to lose 100 pounds of fat. That's not exciting. That's not fun
at
all.
Yeah, but don't lose 100 pounds. Don't do that. Lose 10.
That's exactly right. But
if you got to lose 100, don't set your goal for losing 100. It's too overwhelming.
It is.
I want to lose 10 pounds. That's it. I want to lose 10 pounds. You know, I'm going to lose 2 pounds a week for the next year.
We got to have incremental goals. You got to have long-term goals. What do you want to be in 12 months? What do you want to be in 1 month? What do you want to be in
And then you
months?
Have to have activity goals. You have to know, well, I got to eat more chicken.
Yep.
You know, you like that Chick-fil-A commercial.
I'm not recommending Chick-fil-A. They put
too much MSG
in
everything.
But it is funny. I'd always say eat more chicken.
Well, no, or fish. You know, you can have salmon, orange roughy. There's all kinds of good fish to eat, but make sure your salmon's wild caught. Or you have beef if you want. It's all right. Beef is fine. Don't do pork. Pork's nasty.
I love ground beef, man.
Oh, gosh. You know, we had another cat in the wall this weekend. While we were gone on Friday, we found a third cat on the wall. And by the grace of God, Rich was here. And he basically got the third cat out of the wall. This time, rather than trying to relocate the cat, we took it and put it in a box and put it where it fell through the wall. And Mama came and got it.
Mama ended up getting it. So, yeah, the other two have been relocated to a safe home. I don't know what happened with the situation. I'm not making more cat jokes. I'm done with this.
Well, now I've got to cover this.
I'm done cutting holes in the wall.
This is not a joke. Parasites spread by cats may have cost 10,000 New Zealanders their sight. Let's talk about what it says. University of Otago research has estimated 40,000 people are affected by ocular toxoplasmosis.
That's a very real thing.
The cat brain parasite gets in your eyes. This just gets better, doesn't it? With 10,000 seriously impacted, the parasite spread by cats can cause permanent vision loss, with New Zealand having a high infection rate. Much like cats there. Research for new treatments is hindered by a lack of funding, despite promising compounds identified by Professor Bruce Russell. Tens of thousands of New Zealanders have lost vision, sometimes permanently, because of toxoplasmosis. You know, what happens is this is an interesting parasite, smart little thing. It basically gets into the cat feces from the cat, and then mice eat it, and then that feces then basically gives them toxoplasmosis in their brain, and you start craving the smell of cat urine.
The mice does.
And so what happens, they're not scared of cats anymore, so the cat kind of comes up and eats the mouse. Basically is what happens. That's the same thing you see with these crazy cat ladies and crazy cat guys. They have like 40 or 50 cats in their house. The house smells of urea so bad that you can't even walk into it. It's the stench.
I told you that one time. I went. It was one of my friend's friends. We had stopped by. We were going to dinner, and we stopped by her house. She had a bunch of cats, and she was used to it. I walked in the house. I had to walk out. I can only stand for like 2 minutes. And I'm not being mean. It was so strong. The urine was strong. It was so strong. I was like, I gotta leave.
But they don't mind it.
It's giving me a headache.
They have a parasite in their brain that says that it smells great.
Anyways, parasites.
So that's why, you know, when you handle cats,
wash your hands
or wear gloves.
And also too, it doesn't hurt if you do have pets in general. Cats, dogs, love dogs. Run the parasite cleanse once or twice a year.
You know they say ivermectin gets rid of toxoplasma.
I've heard that. Ivermectin's a heck of a drug, man.
And some people are saying that toxoplasmosis goes to schizophrenia and all kinds of weird behavioral
patterns. Well,
there's
a reason why they try to stop everybody from using it during COVID.
And another study that came out, now how accurate is, I don't know. It says a lot of guys that are gay have toxoplasma in their brain and they love cats.
I have to see your research on that one.
Yeah. I'm not saying I agree with that one, but that was, yeah. And they said the toxoplasmosis could get rid of some of that.
But I do know it's a very real thing, and it's a very big problem.
But I do know some gay guys I've met over the years. They all had cats.
Anyways, back to the food article. We were talking about food earlier. It says study shows why people prefer the unhealthiest food. It says the explosion in choices and access has exacerbated America's junk food problem. This is an interesting study here. It says, released this year in European Journal of Clinical Nutrition, included 295 Australian consumers age 18 to 65 who viewed portions of 15 foods that the author termed discretionary. The food and drinks were high in saturated fats, high in added sugars, added salt, or alcohol. Participants chose one image that best represented the portion size they thought was appropriate to eat in one sitting, and another showed what they normally ate at home, eating alone, or with family. After adjusting factors such as sex, age, body mass, the study's authors found that depending on the food, participants chose portions above 15% to 50% smaller than what they normally eat. They went on to say here, it says they think the accessibility of food has definitely become an issue. DoorDash and delivery services made the accessibility of junk food like McDonald's and everything else much, much easier. And it talks about here, too, how these meals have gotten so big in calories. How, you know, an average, you know, Big Mac with fries and a soda pushes into 2,000 calories.
Whoa, say it again. An average Big Mac.
Average Big Mac, you know, as far as with the sandwich, the fries, and the sodas, almost 2,000 calories.
That's an entire day supply of calories.
Depending on which size you get, yeah. But, I mean, you start looking at it, and it's like, and what they're saying is here, the problem is the junk food has gotten so high, and the portions are getting so much bigger that people are starting to think that's the normal size.
Don't you remember that guy a few years ago? He did that supersize me with McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
He only ate at McDonald's.
30 days, I think.
And he gained, 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds.
His cholesterol went through the roof.
Oh, it felt awful.
Yeah. Triglycerides were through the roof. All he did was fast food every single day, like 3 or 4 meals a day.
Yeah.
It put up, got fat, too.
I remember back when I was in college, I was dating this girl. And I remember we used to go to McDonald's before I knew any better. And I remember I would get their chocolate shake, their double cheeseburger, and with their apple pie.
Yeah, but you put on some weight.
I put on weight.
Yeah.
I went from like 180 to 205. I couldn't believe it.
Now, if you're training really, really, really heavy and you're young,
it's hard to build muscle on apple pie.
But here's a part that it says right here. It says the fast food companies have a very aggressive marketing trick that tricks our brain by appealing to our desire for value. Listen to me on this, guys. Be very aware of this. If you're offered 4 ounces of ice cream for $4, but you can upgrade to 6 ounces for only $4.50, more likely you choose the bigger size because you hate to waste money and you feel the value for the money.
Ooh, that's true.
This happens all the time. This is why I do when I have eaten before I am in some place, I get exactly what I want. I don't care about it. And if you notice, they'll do this. Oh, do you want to upgrade for an extra 50 cents? We'll give you an extra large fried, extra large soda. Like, no, I don't want that. You sure? No, I just want a Five Guys burger. That's it.
Well, you know what's interesting about that? Because when you end up doing that, you look at the actual numbers. And for, let's say it's an extra dollar to
upgrade. It's much better value.
Okay, and it costs those guys like 20 cents more, but they make 80 cents more per unit.
Yeah.
And so then all of a sudden, if they do that 100 times a day, you know, they're making 80 extra dollars a day.
Yep.
And that's how they see it.
And that's how they see it. And what it's done now, it's skewed the mindset of the American population on what is normal portion control.
Well, there's that one restaurant. It's got okay food, Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
we used to go in there. I'm not kidding. Now, we didn't do this to save money. The kids go with us. And Sharon and I would literally get one meal and split it with five people.
Huge. Well, it shows you the calories on the menu.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
One of the things like that meatloaf with mashed potatoes, it's like 2,200 calories.
Well, what we'd do is we'd have the little kids were with us, so they you know, whatever. We'd get a couple of tiny meals for them. It was overwhelming how much food it was.
Yes.
And I remember one time I went to I've gone to Greek restaurants before, and they have all these appetizers. You order all this stuff, and so the whole table's covered in food.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the heck's all this?
Well, yeah, and that's what they're saying here is now, because people have gotten so accustomed to these larger portion sizes with fast food, now when they go home and they have a meal at home, they want a bigger meal because they're used to eating 2,000 calories in each meal, and all of a sudden you're eating 6,000, 7,000 calories.
You know a little trick that I do when I'm at the house? I use small plates.
So, exactly. I was just about to say that.
I use like a coffee plate, like a, you know, you call it untertasse.
I use the same size bowls at the office. They're always the same size.
Little one. I use a little tiny bowls, and so the little bowl's overflowing.
We don't have to measure anything anymore.
It's overflowing, and you think, oh, look at this, all this food. Well, you need to figure it out. It's like, you know, 500 calories, 400 calories.
Yeah, 6, 7 ounces of chicken.
That's all it is.
Got some rice, got some broccoli in there, and you're done.
A little bit of hot sauce, and you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, but this is just a side note that I wanted to cover this because we were talking about losing weight and burning body fat, and this is something now you've got, and I have a good friend of mine, and he's fought this for years because he always wants to eat these bigger meals and go for a second sitting, go for a third sitting. And this is what happens when you start getting on this junk food kick because your body and your mind and your stomach start getting skewed on what's actually a normal size meal. Just something to be aware of.
Another thing, too, and this is very important, you can't flex fat.
No.
Cannot. All right. I see a lot of these guys going to these bulk programs, and it's not because they want to get really bigger with muscle-wise or they think they are doing that, but they're trying to eat all this food all the time and they just get fat.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've seen it. They're training heavy. They're training 4, 5, 6 days a week. But
they just get fat.
But the calorie intake versus the calorie out as far as what they're training.
Well, I've seen them. They go up to 240, 250. You know, they're 5 feet, 8 inches tall, and now they're just fat. And they think they're looking in the mirror. They think, I look great. I'm all bulked up. No, you don't look good. You look fat. And so that's the whole key is you got to stay lean. Keep your body fat. If you're training heavy, try to keep your body fat under 20%.
Yeah.
Just keep it under 20%. 20% is okay. You know, you don't have to be 8%. 8% is hard to maintain. You get all ripped up at 8%, but you got to really watch your diet all the time. Say 8%.
It's hard.
I've been there before. It's like, you know, you have that lean, hungry look like,
all the time.
Oh my gosh! And so you're looking like you want to go eat a Big Mac every day. You're about to starve to death. But if you keep yourself body fat between 15% and 20%,
yeah,
it's pretty easy to maintain. And just monitor it with a fat caliper is all you got to do. And if you start gaining weight, and you keep letting your belt out. It ain't good weight. Well, you know that's not good weight.
The rule of thumb that I've always kept out is I pretty much always try to be no more than 6 weeks away from a beach trip if I want. Meaning, at any point in time, 6 weeks, I can go on a really, really strict diet and shred down to a point where I feel, you know, I feel confident, I look good at the beach. If you could stay in that range, 4 to 6 weeks, where if you need to lean down, it's a pretty good average to stay at.
I could do
never
that.
Let your weight.
I could get. I don't like the beach because of the sun.
Pick something then. I don't know.
Well, the beach is a good. That's perfect. Yeah.
Like, okay, hey, we're going on a beach trip in 6, 7 weeks. Done.
Well, yeah, you see these Hollywood guys, right? And they've got to do a scene in which they're going to the beach.
Oh, yeah.
And they got a pot gut on them. And they're running around with a pot belly.
Like, bro, you had months in advance for this film.
You got years in advance.
But then you got some of the guys, if you see them, they're pretty good shape right around. Then they do a movie. And they, like the one, what was that one, Thor?
Oh, my God.
They said they had to keep adjusting his suit.
Well, that last one
he did.
He
kept growing into the show.
That last one he did. I don't know what kind of stuff he was on, but man, he was huge and cut up.
Yeah, he put on some weight.
And now he's all skinny again. And that's not healthy either. But
no.
But the thing about it is that if I was going to do a movie, it'd be the lean and hungry look.
Lean and hungry look, yeah.
If I had to be, I'd be walking on the beach. At least Tom Cruise does that. Like when he was in that movie, Top Gun.
He stays pretty shape year round, though.
Yeah, he does. But he got himself pretty lean for that movie. He had the beach scene.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what
Maverick.
I would do. Yeah, with Maverick. That's a great movie.
Yes. Also, two other news. This is something interesting. This is getting a lot of coverage now. Trump has covered this. I'm not a big fan of prescription drugs. You know that. But the outlandish prices the United States pays and the...
That's crazy.
The healthcare industrial complex said $67 in France and $798 in the U.S. Why prescription drug prices are so high in the United States. And this is a serious issue. It says prescription drugs cost more in the United States than anywhere else in the world. And it's a lot has to do with the insurance industrial complex that's unbelievably corrupt now in the United States.
$60 for an aspirin is too much, Austin, for one aspirin.
$60.
No, it had to happen to me.
I know. I remember you told me that. $60.
And I said, I refuse the aspirin. Take it off the bill.
Yeah, $60.
One aspirin, yeah. Now, if it had been the insurance company, it would pay 10 cents.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're paying cash for it.
Was.
But they're trying to gouge you. They try to find the consumer, first of all, who's willing to pay the outlandish prices.
Right.
And they used to go after your credit report if you didn't pay it. Now they can't do that anymore.
That's good. They have stopped that crap now.
Because they would say, oh, you're not paying $60 for it. Ah, you're a peasant. We're going to drop you 100 points on your biggest score.
And that's what they were fighting when they wanted to get it off the credit reports, because they were saying, dude, this isn't something like I agree to pay $10,000 for a car and I defaulted. You go to the hospital because you have an emergency and suddenly you've got a $50,000 bill and you're like, well, that's not even.
Sharon was in the hospital for one day, for like 24 hours. Her bill was $38,000 and she was never even admitted.
I remember that.
Yeah, unbelievable. By the way, white men in pit of worry over doing or saying the wrong thing at work.
Yeah.
I guess being white's got its advantages here. Being white and male can be a career disaster, a new podcast claims, with young men most anxious. Okay? Almost a quarter of white men said they are discriminated against for their race and gender, according to a poll.
A lot now.
Research Commission for White Men Can't Work, a five-part podcast and YouTube series, suggested nearly half the white men in the U.K. are self-censoring at work because of fear to say something wrong and they lose their jobs. More than a third of those under 34, they've lost out on a promotion or other opportunities because they're white, and these are unhappy young men. They're very, very unhappy about it. Proportion of white men who think they've lost out on professional opportunities because of our identity, age 18 to 24, 36%. More than a third overall, 34%, think that white men are the least valued workers in the workplace. Now, you know what's funny about this? You know, invariably, you know, I talk to my friends who are in the dating scene, and they tell me that women tell them repeatedly that men are no longer men. Men have been so beaten down that they're scared to say anything. They're scared to do anything.
It's been psychological warfare.
Well, no, they have. It's because of what happened with the Frankfurt School, and that they've become very, very beta. And they follow behind their wives, 10 feet behind as she walks in front of them. Ugh, sorry, ladies, your husband shouldn't do that to you. You shouldn't do that to him.
Yeah.
And it's how they act. And then, but you don't have to worry. That Trump has all kinds of very interesting things to say because he obviously isn't being affected by this. Trump's bizarre.
He just says whatever he wants, bro.
Trump's bizarre trophy wives rant during Life Tips ramble stuns West Point grads. What? He goes, during his first military commencement address of his second term, Trump, just talking to West Post candidates, and he starts talking to him about trophy wives. In the midst of his early hour-long speech to the graduates, Trump diverged into a lengthy and meandering commentary about trophy wives, which elicited little reaction from the audience. While wearing a very controversial and disrespectful cap, he offered some advice to the graduating class, recounting an encounter with a groundbreaking real estate developer at a gathering in New York. He sold his company, had nothing to do. He told the future military leaders their concerns over the weary president slurring his words. Okay. And he ended up getting a divorce and found a new wife. Could you say a trophy wife? What does it have to do with West Point graduates? I guess we could say trophy wife. It didn't work out too well. But if it doesn't work out too well, I must tell you, a lot of trophy wives don't work out, but it made them happy for at least a little while. Okay. Bro. I did not know it was going here. Okay. Okay. Then
you
he
can't
could,
repeat
no,
everything
no.
Trump said.
Then he concluded, but he found a new wife. He sold his little boat. He got a big yacht. He had one of the biggest yachts anywhere in the world. He moved for a time to Monte Carlo, and he led a good life. And time went by, and he got bored. And 15 years later, the company that he sold to him called him, and they said, the housing business is not for us. Later, the Republican leader finally explained that the point of the story was to love what you do.
Bro.
This is rambling, guys. Okay.
Sometimes he needs a nap.
My gosh.
Did you hear the one the other day when the lady was asking about something? What if Putin breaks the peace treaty? He's like, what if a bomb drops on your head right now? What if? I was like, what? That's like a valid point. Speaking of that, though, did you see the Putin's helicopter? They said allegedly it was the epicenter of Ukrainian drone strike. Saw this. This is wild. Now apparently Putin's moving 50,000 troops to Ukrainian border. So I don't know if this is actually really happening. There's a lot of theater out there. But I do know that they're saying now Russia's air defense system intercepted the drone and destroyed it before it could reach President Putin's helicopter.
If this is true.
Exactly. But if this was a directed drone strike on Putin's helicopter, whew, this is going to escalate again. Which, that may be what Raytheon and Lockheed Martin want to have happen. Who knows?
But you know, by the way, it says more and more young men are joining Orthodox churches, like the Greek Orthodox Church or the Lutheran Church or the Russian Orthodox Church, because they're wanting some type of manliness put back in their life with male leadership. And they say that they're offering an absurd level of manliness. Now, wait a minute. You think, how in the world can you have an absurd level of manliness? I guess you can. A lot of people ask me, Father Moses, how I can increase my manliness to absurd levels. What? In a YouTube video, this priest is championing a form of viral, unapologetic masculinity. Skinny jeans, crossing your legs, using an iron, shaping your eyebrows, even eating soup are among things that he decides are too feminine. There are other videos.
I've had to use an iron before in a pinch, bro. I can't even wear a wrinkly button-up.
He's a powerful father of five, weightlifting to the sound of heavy metal. Well, yeah, I've got to say this to you. You know, if you don't like using an iron and you're not married,
I'm not good at it.
You're basically going to have to figure out how to get yourself unwrinkled. Have fun. If you don't want to eat soup, you can drink it out of a cup. That'd be all right. A cup of soup, I guess. There are other videos of Father Moses, powerfully built father of five, you know, listening to the sound of heavy metal. He was raised Protestant and once worked as a roofer, but now he serves as a priest of the Russian Orthodox Church. Okay? ROCOR, a global network in New York, has recently been expanding across parts of the U.S., mainly as well as people converting from other faiths. In the last 6 months, Father Moses has prepared 75 new followers for baptism in the Church of the Mother of God just north of Austin. He goes, my wife and I converted 20 years ago. We used to call Orthodoxy the best-kept secret because people didn't know what it was, he said. But in the past year, our congregation has tripled in size. Now, I'm going to say something about this, and I'm not saying that I agree with everything he says, but I will say this. If he can provide mentorship for young men, Austin, teaching them how to be men,
that's
pretty
that
good.
More, yeah. I mean,
you know,
telling guys it's feminine to have to use an iron. It's going to be feminine to make your meals when you're meal prepping for, you know, weight training when you're in college.
Well, what he's saying is what you and I talked about at the beginning of the show, about staying in your lane.
Yeah.
Okay? And now don't send me letters on this because I really don't want to deal with answering them. But, you know, the reality is that, you know, Sharon and I had our own lanes we stayed in.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
Yep.
And, you know, she wrote the cookbook. She cooked the food. She did the dishes. Or I helped with the dishes. But she did the laundry. And, you know, I stayed focused on the company. And we both had our own lanes. And we didn't cross over unless we needed to. I didn't mind doing acts of kindness with her because that was one of her love languages. And a lot of times I would just grab the dishes and put them away real quick or wash them. I didn't care about stuff like that. And as far as the laundry, I didn't know how to use the machines after she passed away. I'd have Savannah teach me how to do that. But the reality is now I have to do my own laundry.
Yeah.
Does that make me less of a man? No. I don't want to run around with stinky clothes on.
It's like, yeah, I mean, like the other day, when we were up in North Carolina, you're cooking a bunch of eggs one morning, then I got a bunch of chicken for the food. You got to eat. I mean, it's like, well, so, I'm no longer going to eat because it's feminine to cook. Like, you're going to get really lean, bro.
Really fast.
Really fast.
And you're not going to feel very good.
No.
Then you start having seizures from a lack of calories. But no, it's just
If you don't want to have to cook food all the time, you can live off the Fit Food protein for quite a while in the GHI cleanse.
Well, let us not forget Purple Sticks.
Well, you those are a must.
I had those this morning.
Yeah, I mixed them right before the show. Keeps me pretty stable. I notice if I drink the shake with the purple stick right at the beginning of the show, gives me a nice stage.
I had two scoops of the GHI, not GHI. I didn't have GHI out here. I had the Fit Food, which, by the way, tastes a lot better than GHI.
Oh, yeah.
But the GHI is really good for your liver, though. And all stuff, HGH, all of this stuff is super important to take in moderation and eat and use on a regular basis because it maintains nutrient density.
Well, and that's like we talked about last week when I was talking about the B-complex as product of the week. The B-complex is water-soluble. It doesn't build up in your system long-term.
Right through, yeah.
So you got to constantly keep it updated.
That's why your urine will be yellow.
Exactly. And one of the things is B vitamins specifically help repair the brain, especially if you're going through a lot of stress, certain things that are going on. B1 fortifies nerves. Says while B1 contributes to structural integrity and energy of metabolism in the nervous system, B6 and B12 are integral in how efficiently the cells relay messages. B6 supplies brain chemicals. That's why it's really important. It's for the 5-HTP with the B-complex, really helps out with mood. And B12 keeps signals running smoothly. These B vitamins, B1, B6, and B12, are super important if you want to maintain structural integrity and mental acuity and focus on a regular basis, especially if you're really high pace, you got a lot of stress, you got a lot of things going on, and you got to be on point. You got to make sure you keep the B vitamins up.
Especially stress, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
If you got elevated cortisol, you got to have
B. You got to have B vitamins.
Remember, the B vitamins are what metabolize the Krebs cycle, the citric acid cycle, ATP.
Yep.
And without that being in your system in high enough concentration, they're like the spark plugs. And, you know, without those, you can't really produce high amounts of adenosine triphosphate.
Exactly right.
And so your energy goes through the floor.
Right.
And it also makes you age really fast. Like alcohol. Alcohol, if you really want to age quick, and I saw it at my mom's beer tavern, the German beer tavern that we had, the people that smoke and drank all the time.
Oh, yeah. Especially both of them together.
You could watch them age. And most of them died in their 40s and 50s. It was horrible. I watched it happen. And people are always asking, well, how come you look so young? Well, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I take my supplements. I eat clean.
Yep.
You know, I take vitamins on an ongoing basis. I do all that stuff. And the reality is I stay out of the sun now. I don't go lay in the sun.
You do stay out of the sun. I like the sun.
I wear a hat now. I can't believe I wear a hat.
I hate sunscreen.
Every once in a while I use a bit of sunscreen, but not very often. I always use the organic.
You always got your Indiana Jones hat.
I do.
Let me get you a whip, bull whip.
Oh, yeah. Whoosh. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool if I had a bullwhip.
My buddy has one.
I used to have one.
I know you did.
What happened to it?
I think I lost it.
I think Austin lost it.
I was playing with it and I lost it out in the yard somewhere. My bad. So, again, my friends, this is one of the things that I constantly try to do. We do with this show every day is bring you guys updated news, but bring you guys stuff that's applicable in your daily lives, stuff that you can use that'll make your lives better, stronger. And that's why we do this show for you every day. You know, I'm not trying to follow our course for $500 a week. We bring the show to you free every day. So the biggest way you can support the show, pick up your supplements from Health Masters, even if you just grab the Ultimate Multiple or the Purple Sticks. So, again, thank you for your support on that. Thank you for the emails. I get emails all the time. I was answering them over the weekend some, especially last night, getting updated on everything. A lot of positive feedback on certain stuff with the show. You guys like it when we joke around more, and it's not such a serious show, apparently.
Well, the news is a little easier to handle with a little bit of
humor. I'm kind of over being serious with the news anymore. At the end of the day, it's like, all I can do is raise my kids and stay strong and stay healthy.
The only thing matters is serve God and obey his commandments. Anyhow, that's the sole duty of man. Ecclesiastes says that. And by the way, the state of Texas is finally doing something right. They're starting to mandate that the Ten Commandments be displayed in the schools.
Good. About time that comes back.
You know, I mean, I like that. I mean, think about it. You know, can't have the Ten Commandments. Well, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah. Now, I was going to say, well, what's wrong with them? What's so egregious and offensive about the Ten Commandments?
You know, you treat your
thou shalt not steal.
Thou shalt not kill. So have, you know, you have
gosh,
honor,
that's
thy,
a rough one.
Honor thy father and thy mother. Don't covet. Don't commit adultery. I mean,
when people want those off, it's odd to me. I'm like, what is so obscure on there that's so offensive to you? Is it the thou shalt not steal part? Is that offend you?
No, what offends them is thou shalt have no other gods before.
That's the biggest one.
Yeah, that makes them mad because they got all the little religions they like to do. And then the other one is thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Oh, yeah.
That was a tight one.
Yeah.
That using God's name in vain, that's a pretty bad one.
He frowns upon that.
He doesn't like it. Calling curses down using God's name. That's just a real negative thing to do. But I'm really happy that Texas is doing that. But the reality is that I went to church yesterday, as I try to do every single Sunday. And I got to have communion, and I was able to sit there after communion, and I was at the altar, and I prayed for you guys and asked God to continue to bless you, keep you, allow his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and to grant you grace, mercy, peace, love, prosperity, and companionship all the days of your life. Thank you for supporting Health Matters.
Yes.
Thank you for watching the show. Thank you for being part of our family. Because, you know, we talked about this the other day. Blood makes you a relative. Loyalty makes you family. You guys are a family. We're loyal to you. I'm glad you're loyal to us. Thank you.
Thank you, my friends. Have a great evening. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow, as always.